Amen. Come, let us adore him. I want to say a couple of things before I get into this message this morning. I want to say I'm a blessed man. I'm blessed to be pastor of Tuckerdale Baptist Church. I went to the ball game the other night, and I looked across, way across over on the other side, and I saw Brother David sitting over there. And I told Annemarie I'm going to go over and talk to him a little while. Well, we wasn't there long till we was talking about everything except the ball game. We was talking about good things of the Lord and what the Lord's done. And David mentioned something to me that I thought I'm going to mention that Sunday morning. Well, David walked in this morning and had me a paper. Atheist has put up a sign down in Winston-Salem somewhere, says, go ahead and skip church. Just be happy. Just be good, for goodness sake, happy holidays. That's what the atheists would like for us to think. Just go ahead and skip church. You know, the devil's out to destroy the Lord. And he's after the church because we're part of him. And if we ain't awful careful, we're gonna let some things happen that we're not going to be comfortable with. And we'll have to pay the consequences somewhere after a while. Because it's closing in on us from every corner. It's closing in on us from every corner. I never thought that I'd, in the least, and I'm a dreamer, you know, you done prayed about my dreams. And I dream a lot of things. In all my dreams, I never dreamed that we'd have atheists that'd be bold enough to stand up and put signs along the road to try to destroy the church. I never dreamed that we'd ever see homosexuals. Now we called them by another name when I was a boy, but I'll not go there. I never dreamed that we'd see homosexuals running some of the churches in the United States of America. And there are a lot of things that I just didn't believe, and it's still hard for me to believe that people would abort a baby or maybe have a baby just to sell parts. We're getting in a worse mess every way we turn. And we keep expecting Washington to fix it. And they can't because they ain't saved. They're not going to fix this. You might as well quit dreaming about that. They may do some things and change some things. And we got some people probably running that are saved. I don't know. I hope they are. But the majority of these people... And I'm going to tell you something. I learned something this week that I didn't know, and I can't prove, but it's we've already got Muslims in the Congress of the United States of America, and we wonder how in the world will Washington straighten this thing out. So don't expect that, church. We got a job to do. And I said, I'm a blessed man. I'm blessed because I mentioned last Sunday, I think it was. Was it Sunday? Yeah, last Sunday, about going Christmas caroling. And this week I got a call from Tanya, and she said, I've got this Christmas caroling all lined out. And I didn't have to worry a thing about it. She took care of it. You mentioned the Christmas play, and Lanice will just have a Christmas play. And I don't even know what it's about. If I want something put on the prayer chain, all I got to do is get a hold of Shona. She'll see if it gets put on there, one of these other fellas with. Tom Edwards will probably do it. You know, we got a link. We can get see. Don't have to lay in the bed and worry about all these things. You think I ain't a blessed man? You think I'm not blessed to be a pastor of Tuckerdale Baptist Church? I don't have to worry about whether somebody leads singing or not. I sort of fretted one day. I come and Billy wasn't here, and I looked around, and Kim wasn't here. Tanya led the singing. Are we blessed? How many of you worry about whether we'll have a bulletin or not? Shows up. How many of you lay around? This preacher don't lay around and worry about money. They just take care of it. I go see somebody in the nursing home, and they say, well, so-and-so was here yesterday or the day before. What more could I ask? I want to thank you. Take all the pressure off. I brought up something in Wednesday night service, or Bible study back here, about this book I got in the mail. Didn't know where it come from, didn't have no name on it, didn't know a thing in the world about it, and kind of worried me. And Dan didn't help me none. He said, you better be careful about these books that come like this. Fretted over. Well, I got this in the mail this week. I'm just going to read this to you. I'm just going to take some time here. It's okay, ain't it? Amen. The book is titled The Great Controversy. Subtitle, How Will It End? On the cover, chess pieces stand on the earth, which is being overwhelmed by a burst of light. This book, The Great Controversy, tells the past, the present, and the future, says David Hall, CEO of Remnant Publications, an independent publisher which sent out the books. The book itself is written in the late 19th century by E.G. White, a founder of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination of Christianity. White is an Adventist prophet, and the book explains the denomination interpretation of Christianity. Like many Christians, they hold the world will end and only believers will ascend to heaven. A note from the publisher indicates a belief that the end is coming soon and implies some urgency for people to convert. That's why they sent out the book, because they feel like it's urgent, and I do too. There's some very, very good writings, and don't misunderstand me, I don't agree with everything they preach or anything. There's some very, very good reading in that book about the destruction of Jerusalem and what the saints has went through all the way down from the time of Jesus up till he comes again. And I got this in the mail. I found this on the computer. And since we discussed it at Bible study Wednesday, I thought I'd share it with you. Looks like it was sent by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thanks for all you do, Karen Parsons. Somebody just looks out for us. Ain't that a blessing? I wish Karen was here. I'd like to just say thank you, Karen. Because I don't know when I'd have found out what this is all about. I still are reading some of it. Got another little thing here. You people just keep handing me stuff. And I got another little thing here. This is from Upland Reach. Just want to read a little bit of it. One of the most difficult lessons the Lord has taught me over the years is to visit on, to wait on Him. By nature, I am a bull in a china closet. My motto is, if it won't move, run over it. Need I say more? You know who's writing this, Neil Hatfield. My ways are not His ways. Sue and I believe the Lord is going to move the Conference Center to Ashe County on the New River. This vision is vast and the excitement is real. He goes on to say that he wants you to pray about selling their convention center where they're at now to build this new convention. So it looks like they're definitely going to be trying to come to Ashe County soon. He wants us to pray that he said he had young people coming from 22 different states this summer. He'd like to have some from all 50. He said, we need to get the message out in the corner. Pray about that. If that's going to happen, I want to support it. I'm just putting my name out there. I'm going to support it. You don't have to. You don't have to follow my lead in that, but I will. I do want to support Neil in that effort. And I'd like to see it in Ashe County. He wants to be here on the New River. I know him and Randy Rhodes met. Probably went and looked at some property, and whether that's led to this or not, I don't know for sure. That's all I had about that. God has blessed us, young. Far beyond. Now, I mentioned last week, do you deserve what you've been blessed with? No. It was because somebody loved you. Somebody cared about you. I'd like to just pass a little of that love on, wouldn't you? Donnie, I want to thank you for taking care of the Ebenezer situation. Shoe boxes. I didn't have to worry about that. Donnie took care of it. I'm a blessed man. I'm telling you. Today I want to read a story. You probably ain't never heard this story. But I'm going to read it. You might recognize it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now I'm going to back up. I know you've heard this story. I know that Tuckerdale has heard this story. But there are many people in the world that has not heard this story. There are many people in the world that don't care about this story. The man that put this in the paper that Dave brought to me don't care nothing about this story. In fact, he hates this story. But today, my sermon is a man on a mission. A man on a mission. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You say, well, how are you going to preach a message on a man on a mission? You See, there's something underlying this whole story. There's something about this story that the world needs to know. And the world needs to understand. And we need to appreciate. This little baby boy that was down in Bethlehem, it's hard for me to imagine this baby boy laying in a cow stable in Bethlehem when he came from heaven. Why in the world would a man out of heaven come down and be born in a little lowly stable in Bethlehem? This really, in our terms, in our way of thinking, this don't make no sense. But you see, God and Jesus knew the story. And this was a little boy on a mission. This is not like a lot of children that we think of being born today. I saw one of the saddest faces on a little girl. I won't say who it was. He was talking about his children. And he said she was an accident. But then he said, boy, we love her about better than any of them. That kind of fixed it. But he caught what he had said. Jesus was no accident. Jesus was planned from the foundation of the world, and he came on a mission. What was that mission? What was the mission? You. And you. And every one of you sitting in here today was a mission that Jesus came because you was lost. And being born in Bethlehem was a marvelous thing, and I'm glad to celebrate it. But there are a whole lot more to this mission than being born down in a cow stable in Bethlehem. What was the mission? Why in the world would he come? Bible says that he became poor that you might be rich. And that's not talking about material things. That's talking about being rich in a relationship with God. He said he came to reconcile the world to God. What does that mean? That means that he came that being might be friendly with God and God friendly with being. See, that relationship had been broken. And what had broken it? Sin. And sin had destroyed our relationship with God. We couldn't do a thing about it. And Jesus came on a mission. And not only did he say, a little child born in Bethlehem, but he said, a body thou hast given me that I might make sacrifice. If you read on in this story just a little ways, you'll find out that there were shepherds in the next few verses of this. There were shepherds tending their flocks. What for? What good was sheep? They wasn't tending them for wool. They were tending them for sacrifice. And I'd imagine that these shepherd boys, that the angels come and appeared to them, I'd imagine they was the best shepherds on the land. And they probably had the most quality sheep. Because if they had a sheep that was without spot and without blemish, he'd be worth something. Because somebody needed him for sacrifice. And angels come to these shepherd boys, said, go down to Bethlehem. I'll show you a real lamb. Amen. Go down to Bethlehem. There's a little fella laying in a cradle down there, a kicking that's eternal and will live forever, but he'll die once for the sins of the whole world. If they could have just got a hold of that. If the Jew could have just got a hold of that. But he missed it. He missed it. The mission was. Let me turn over to Luke 19 for just a minute. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. That included you and you and you and you and every one of you. The Son of Man had a mission. He was seeking to save that which was lost. I'm glad he was willing to go up Horse Creek some 60-some years ago, pull me off of the third bench and bring me to a place that I knowed I could have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing this Christmas. The mission was to seek and to save those which was lost. John 3:7 tells the same. Said he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved! I don't know whether you recognize this or not, but you are in a mess if you don't know Jesus Christ. You're on your way to hell. You're riding a ship out of here that'll take you to destruction, and you can be saved. Because that was his mission. Let me tell you something. You're not even in Tuckerdale Baptist Church by accident this morning. The Holy Spirit of God has moved in your life and said you need to go to Tuckerdale. And then it becomes my responsibility to tell you something and to preach to you something that'll point you toward this man called Jesus, because he's the only one that can help you. There's something burning in my soul today. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he was seeking and looking. And Jesus told him, except a man be born again, he cannot know the kingdom of God. In other words, unless you accept this little baby boy that lived and died on an old rugged cross called Calvary for your sin, unless you know that, you can't see the spiritual good of the book and you'll never get to heaven. It's that simple. Do you realize that the Jew was God's chosen people? And they wouldn't accept Jesus Christ. They was cast out. You can't be good enough to be what God wants you to be. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That was His mission. Now it's our turn. It's our turn. Jesus has done His part. He went all the way, said He was obedient to the Father to the very limit. In no wise did He ever sin. He went to Calvary and He died on an old rugged cross because you was a sinner. And He done everything necessary that you don't have to go to hell. He's done His part and it's our part. How are you going to respond to Jesus? How are you going to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to read this. Hebrews says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. And that we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We like to leave that diligent out. Even us Christians like to leave that word out. Oh, just get saved and haphazardly go on your way. No, that's not what He said. I want to show you something that Jesus taught. I want to show you something. I'm going to go back to Matthew. My wife says if I take more than one verse, you're in trouble. You should have brought your lunch. But I'm going to go back. And Jesus spake to them many things in parables. This is Matthew 13 and verse 3. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. I want you to be thinking about your life and your response to Jesus. I want you to be thinking about, have I accepted Jesus? Have I accepted the Word of God? Because He gives us four ways here, I believe it is. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and when the thorns sprung up, it choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Now, I'm not going to interpret this from you because Jesus interpreted. And you sit here and you decide, where do I fall in this? I will say this. If you're in that first one, you're as lost as you can be. You've denied the Lord completely. But listen to, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that was received seed by the wayside. You've been right there. About every one of you have been in this condition right here. And somebody may be here today in that condition. You heard the word. You may even believe that word. But the devil come along and took it away. And you went on your merry way. You done that probably before you got here, before you need to be with the Lord. I did. Thank God I didn't stay there. Thank God I didn't stay there. If you stay there, it's your fault. Now Jesus said, but he that receive the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. We wonder what's happening to people. We wonder why people's in such a mess. We wonder why some come and the Bible says the devil believed and trembled. It's not just believing. It's acting upon what you know and practicing and exercising. He said, don't be ye hearers of the word. He said, be doers of the word. You're not going to get along too far if you just sit around and listen. You've got to exercise. But no, these people heard, and the word was sown in their heart. It even came up, yet it didn't endure. Because we need to be teaching our children. As sure as they come and respond to the gospel call, that tribulation's coming. And that better beware. And they'd better realize that it ain't going to always be easy. Jesus said, that's the way some come. He also that receive seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he became unfruitful. You're in one of these patterns here. I hope you're in this next one. But every one of us in here are in this pattern. And Jesus told us what was going to happen if we responded to the word these ways. Some of us may have got saved just because Mama or thought we got saved or whatever. We may have responded just because Mom and Daddy wanted to us, or because somebody pushed us into it, or somebody drug us off the bench somewhere. And that's all that happened. And we kind of continued a little while and a little while. And after a while, the thorns begin to come up. And things begin to happen. And the cares of the world become on us. And then we didn't have enough root to stand. Because we didn't get where we needed to be to start with. This is worrying me, Ben. We got too many church people out here living like hell, and we got too many church people that say they're good members and they put their money in offering and they do this and they do that, and they're out here living and you couldn't tell if it's Christian to save your neck. Lisa was with me when rain came. And I tried to explain to her, and I want her to know. I want you children to know that your experience with the Lord is not a temporary thing. It's a lifetime journey. It's forever. If you want to live with Him forever, live with Him forever. And don't never get to the place that people think, well, look at that old sinner. Live your life in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this next one will tell you what will happen. He says, but he that receives seed into the good ground, he is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. I want to get in that category. Are you a fruitful Christian? Are you just haphazardly living your life any way you want to? Going to church anytime you want to. Skipping church anytime you want to. Going anywhere you want to. Doing anything you want to. Slipping in church once in a while. Or are you one of these fruitful Christians that's bringing somebody else to church? We need to ask ourselves some questions. Do I really know what God's saying? Do I really understand the Word of God? Does God expect me to be righteous? Does God expect me to be unholy? What kind of response have we made to Jesus Christ? You may respond to me. You may respond to mom and dad, or you may respond to anybody, but it's not your response to me or mom and dad. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that makes you what you ought to be. Jesus said, we can't get away from it. You can believe anything you want to. You can accept anything you want to. But you better make sure. You see, there's something happening when we're born again. Old things become new. And the old what patterns is gone. And we've dedicated our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just come up and say, I believe, I want to go to heaven. But we need to repent to the place that we make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that He owns us. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Shame on us if we disregard that. Shame on us if we disrespect that. Shame on us if we don't lift Jesus Christ high. Because He's depending on us. See, what Jesus really said in a nutshell, your life will prove what you are. What'd he say? It won't be Shauna deciding what I am, or Josh. It ain't up to them. It's up to me. They can't witness for me. I've got to witness about Jesus for myself. They can't be fruitful for me. It's up to you. It's between you and God. It's not between you and the deacon or between you and somebody else. It ain't between you and nobody but you and God. And you know what? I believe you're intelligent people. I do. And I believe you know the difference. If you don't, I believe you can read this parable and you can check your life and you see what kind of response you're giving Jesus. Now you say, well, boy, I'd like to be one of them 100%. Well, I guess we all would. But that ain't the way it is. It ain't how many bushels you produce. It's just that you produce. You see, this thing about it, your fruitfulness is according to your faithfulness. See, I don't know what we're supposed to do. That's between him and God. I don't know what David's supposed to do. I know what David does, hold on. That's between him and God. If you had a hero in this church today, you'd probably point one out. I'd probably point old Dave back there and say, or whoever. You know, but they come. They don't say a whole lot. But he's being as faithful as he can be with the conditions he's got and the circumstances that he's had to live through. God may reward him with 100-fold. And this little preacher may just get 30. You may think I'm something, but I ain't nothing. Robbie back there may be more faithful than I am. I don't know. But that's between him and God, and me and God. Where are you in this? Now, Billy, get us a song here in a minute, and Gail, come on the piano. You may be here and you may be in that first category. Anybody here that's never heard the word before, stick your hand up. Nobody here. So you have responded to the word in some way. Every one of us has responded to the word of God in some way. You may be here and you responded and you've let thorns choke it out, or the ways of the world choke it out, or maybe it just didn't get deep enough to get root. Maybe you've never come to the place that you say, yes, I'm willing to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in one of these other categories. And if I ain't careful, I'll keep slipping down, slipping down. But I want to give my life to Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't have no bragging right here. But I got saved when I was 10-year-old. And I tell you, David, I could have probably been a rich man. But I'd rather serve the Lord. I'd rather serve the Lord. And sometimes it takes sacrifice to do that. And some of you, somewhere, you say, I'm not being fruitful. You're not dug deep enough yet. You need to get on the altar somewhere. And if Jesus made a sacrifice at you at Calvary, and I believe he did, I believe he's asking you to sacrifice yourself for his benefit. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. Because some of us is just seeking the world. We're just seeking after the things of the world. And we're letting the thistles grow up in their life. And we're just in a mess. Because we've not fully dedicated ourselves to the cause of Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you're in that first category, and you've just kind of heard the word, but you just brushed it off. You've never accepted anything. That wasn't a mission. Jesus didn't expect you to stay there. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And all of us done admitted we've heard the word preached before. It's not our first lesson. So we responded some way. But where are you today? Where are you at with God today? Where are you in your home life? Billy, I'm sorry I got you up awful early. But let me tell you something. If you're ashamed of Jesus at home, there's a problem. You need to dedicate yourself to Jesus Christ. He'll make you fruitful. I promise you. You'll give your life completely, totally to Jesus Christ. He'll make you fruitful. While we stand, if you're here today, you need anything from Jesus Christ. You need anything from God. If you've never given yourself to the Word of God and the ways of God, and the delight of your heart is to walk in the paths of God, you need to talk to God about it.